Welcome to The Point. I'm Indy Todd. Periodically, we host a roundtable of regional chiefs of police. It's an opportunity to learn more about the workings of the department and how policing is adapting to not only keep the public safe, but to respond to the needs of the community. Today, we welcome Chief Jody Casper from Nantucket. Welcome, Chief Casper.
Good morning. Thank you.
Chief Jeffrey Laurie from Falmouth. Hi, Chief.
Good morning. Thanks for having
me. And Chief Scott McDonald from Orleans. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
So listeners, if you have a question or a comment for the Chiefs of Police, you can give us a call at 866-999-4626 or send an email to thepoint@capeandislands.org. I want to start with something I know you all are dealing with, and that is staffing challenges, affordable housing, part of that issue. Chief Casper, Nantucket, we were just saying median home price, $4 million. How on earth are you able to hire enough staff?
Yeah, it is without a doubt our biggest challenge that we're facing right now, and it really has been for a few years. In the post-COVID years, the average home price has just skyrocketed. And, you know, our challenge now is how do we hire a 23, 24, 25-year-old police officer who wants to someday own a home here and at the salary that they're earning, that they're never going to be able to do that. So that is our biggest challenge. We're working closely with the town to talk about a lot of different housing options and different solutions. So the town has this very much on the front of their minds. It's in the strategic plan. It's in almost every meeting where we're talking about employee housing. So I'll remain optimistic, but we certainly have big challenges ahead.
Yeah. Same for you, Chief McDonald.
Yes, you know, when I think back, 10, 15 years ago, if we had one opening, we would have anywhere from 50 to 70 candidates for that opening. In my last process, we had five. So that's significant. And, you know, Chief Casper hit the nail on the head. This is a significant issue, and it should be concerning for all of us about what the future holds for us.
Yeah, because it's not just the police department. It's firefighters, it's nurses, it's everybody. Chief Laurie, tell us a little about staffing in Falmouth.
So when I took over approximately a year ago, we were working in the 40s. I had some people that were out injured. I had some people on military deployment, family medical. But we were very low when it came to staffing. And no matter where your political affiliations lie, you know, President Obama's 21st Century Policing Report hit the nail on the head with three things. One is, you know, basically public perception, two, budget, and obviously three, hiring and retention. Extremely difficult. So what we did in Falmouth, I've hired actually 19 people since September. If you add the two clinicians, 21. And what we do is we offer great specialty assignments and different things. I've got 9 in the academy, 10 with laterals. I have one opening right now, if anyone's listening is interested. but at the end of the day, we sat down, negotiated contracts, and really upped the pay a little bit because not as bad as Nantucket, obviously, but housing's very expensive in Falmouth. I can attest to that as a Falmouth resident who just bought a home, moved in this December 1st. So it's an ongoing challenge. It's finding specialty assignments, supporting your staff through career growth and training, and just providing a really healthy environment where people want to come and work for Falmouth.
Yeah. You said you hired 19. Does that bring you up to the staffing level you need to be at?
I'm at 64 right now. I have one opening now. I have two positions that I'm adding to the department, July 1st and 2nd, that will be at 67. I'm kind of completing my own staffing study right now, or I think we need to have more. I know the other chiefs, you know, we don't have the summer officers anymore to augment. You know, we go from, they say we're 33,000. I say we're between 35 and 40,000. But we go to over 100,000 in the summer. So if you look at the standards, state and national, for hiring police officers, we should be at 78 the off season, and we should be at 230 in the on season. Obviously, that's never going to happen. But we don't have those part-time police officers anymore to augment our staff, those 20, 30 people every summer because of POST, Police Officers Standards Training Commission.
All right. Chief Casper, where are you at in staffing? And your population in the summer is even larger.
It is. Yeah, it's a really, that's exactly the issue, is just the change. What number do you choose to staff a police department when your population fluctuates as much as all of ours? It's a really dramatic change. And of course, it puts incredible stress on all of our officers in the summertime. They can get no time off. They're very limited. They end up working a ton of doubles and overtime and all those sorts of things. So we have 41 full-time police officer positions. We have a lot of other staff that are non-police officers, but we have those. And right now we have 3 vacancies, and we're just about to send 2 to an upcoming academy. So we're doing pretty well. But back when I began, hiring used to take a small percentage of the job, and we really only hire one or two officers a year. And now it's just, we're constantly in a state of hiring where we're looking at new applicants and trying to get people to come in the door. Just a lot less applicants for the jobs that are opening up. So I feel pretty good about where we are, but our staff is definitely under quite a bit of stress.
How about with you, Chief McDonald? Where are you?
So our authorized strength is 22 full-time officers. We are down 6 right now. So we had quite the transition from officers retiring. But I do want to just kind of build on a point that Chief Lori made in terms of trying to make the organization an attractive place to be. And how can we, you know, fulfill an employee professionally? What are those things that we can do? And that's something that we've really been focusing on, you know, these collateral duties, these special assignments. But at the end of the day, we have to give them a salary that they can survive on the Cape. So trying to find that balance point, there's only so much money within these communities. So it's a real, real challenge, but it is such an investment. So when you look at, you know, how are we different from, you know, a retail employee or we're looking at about a $60,000 investment to train an officer. 22 weeks of academy, they're getting paid, uniforms, all these things. And when that investment walks out the door within a year, well, that's a poor investment. Yeah. So that's something we constantly have to look at. Retention is really, really important. We can't lock anyone into a contract. If we can, it's extremely limited. The only thing we can get back is the cost of the uniforms, which is prorating. So there's a lot of challenges involved with this.
Yeah. And how is the police academy, you know, it's been here for a few years, but how is that impacting? Is that helpful?
Well, for us, I mean, we've got people driving, you know, some a couple hours one way. You know, hopefully the Falmouth Police Academy is going to open up. I'm hoping next late fall, early winter, that'll help. I've got 9 in Linfield, and just what the chief is saying, you know, they signed a 3-year contract with me. You know, the issue is I don't want them to leave in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So
you want them to stay.
trying to make it attractive, but yeah, it's a problem when you got people traveling to Linfield that live on the Cape, and all the officers that are off Cape, like the chief's talking about, we don't want them in 3 years to leave our department to go to a department there. So it's providing an environment that is really employee friendly, conducive to career growth and development. And again, paying the officer, especially if you want an educated officer. I know we re-implemented Quinn Bill for those that don't have it over the 3 years in this current contract. And I think that's important. I think we need to value education, value our most precious resource, you know, our staff.
I would also think just the mental health of your officers is costly, too. I mean, people know it's a tough job, right? And mental health, and I know a lot of times police officers, that they're maybe a little reluctant, right, to say they need some help. Has that changed in the recent years that they are?
I think so. I think we still need to do a better job of really supporting our staff and making sure we debrief after critical incidents. I think we can do a better job. But I do think it's better from when I started back in 1988. You know, you definitely, you know, didn't want to show a sign of weakness, where now I think we're encouraging it as a sign of strength, that if you need help, seek it.
Yeah. Substance use disorder, overdose calls, that's, I'm sure, a big part of all of your departments. What trends are you seeing over the past, you know, 2 to 3 years? And, you know, how common is fentanyl in these overdose cases? Chief McDonald.
We've actually seen a slight reduction. We've had about 22 cases in the last couple of years. We suspect that fentanyl was involved in the majority of those cases. The use of our Narcan, the doses has increased drastically, doubled, in fact. So that tells you right there that fentanyl is probably involved in the overdose. Although we've seen that slight decrease, I think regionally it's probably on an uptick.
Yeah. What about for you, Chief Lloyd?
Who would have thought, right, when the three of us as chiefs started many years ago, that Narcan would be standard issued equipment, right?
Right.
I mean, we're using it on a weekly, sometimes daily basis. We're seeing crack cocaine arise in that in Falmouth as well. Having a drug rehab facility, which we support, we want people to get help. We have, I believe, the most sober houses on the Cape. So, yeah, there's a huge substance abuse problem, and we're deploying Narcan at a rate that's, I would like to see, decrease.
How about on Nantucket, Chief Casper? What are you seeing there?
Yep, similar trends to what everyone else is talking about. Just like everyone else, all of our officers carry it. And I wouldn't have thought that 25 years ago, but it's probably the number one used item in our med bags is Narcan. And you know, it's tricky to track overdose numbers in my experience in that in the city that I used to work in, we saw those numbers trending up. Then as Narcan became more available and actually bystander Narcan became available, I don't know if there's actually less overdoses or people are not calling because they're administering Narcan in the privacy of their own homes without calling. So I'm not confident in saying the number of overdoses because now bystander Narcan is out there. Yeah. Certainly we're still seeing, you know, some fatal overdoses and overdoses that were going on.
The police logs indicate that there are many people drinking and driving despite decades of DUI laws. What trends are you seeing in DUI and what demographic? Is it younger? Is it older? And just driving under the influence. I mean, you can give somebody a breathalyzer test, but if they're, you know, high on drugs or now imagine marijuana plays into this. What are we seeing as far as trends there? Anybody?
In Orleans, I can tell you we've seen a significant decrease in operating under the influence. We saw that tipping point right around 2017. We almost cut our numbers in half. I'm thinking back, what explains that? So I think the rideshare programs really had a lot to do with that here in Orleans. In terms of the demographics, it's pretty much spread across the board with us, older, younger, male, female.
Yeah. Is that what you're saying, Chief Loy?
Yes, I would agree with the chief.
Mm-hmm. Same thing for you, Chief Casper.
Yep, I would agree. We're definitely seeing a lot of drivers. I think our officers are becoming better at detecting and being aware of other substances that may be impacting impairment. Prescription medications, marijuana are certainly present. But as we all know, it's very hard to build a case on prescription medication or marijuana. So if the odor of alcohol is there, you'll usually see it charged that way, because it's just easier to prove with the, you know, very clear 0.08. But I see a lot of that, and I read in reports a lot of other substances being used along with alcohol that are causing impairment.
How is your department working with social services and health professionals in cases of overdose or substance use disorder? I know some departments actually have folks on staff, right?
Yeah, I know in Falmouth we have two clinicians on staff. They're amazing, quite frankly. Very busy. We work with Gosnold on follow-ups on overdoses. We're trying to make sure that we visit those, maybe not even that overdosed in Falmouth, but live in Falmouth, to try to get them the help that they need. But it's an absolutely unbelievable resource, having the clinicians riding with the officers in the cruisers, helping people with mental health crises live time. It's really been beneficial.
Yeah. Anybody else have that? Have clinicians?
I think it's encouraging. There's a Sims public safety program that Bonsall County participates in. And when there is an overdose that is reported into the system, for example, if you have an individual that overdoses in another community, where that individual resides is notified that there was an overdose and there can be the proper follow-up. Again, we use Gosnold also. They're absolutely fantastic. So one of our officers, a representative from Gosnold, can go to the residence and provide that individual with resources and assistance.
Mm-hmm. What about just mental health calls that aren't related to substance use? How are you? Are those clinicians the same ones that would be working with these cases as well?
Yeah, we work. We work with Falmouth Human Services, the Housing Authority of Cape Cod, the Falmouth Service Center, VinFin, Gosnold. They have a lot of tools in their toolbox. I mean, these are, licensed clinicians, master's degrees. And it's really, they're unbelievable from even assisting us with, it could be a death notification when that person is in crisis dealing with something like that. So it's been a very, I've hired them one in September. I think one was in November. We also have a domestic violence advocate also assisting those, you know, that are in crisis. So we have three women in our department that are really doing an amazing job, really identifying people that are in crisis and helping them.
Yeah, it's a tough time. I mean, and Chief McDonald, I'm sure you've seen this over the years. Our access to mental health care, there's a lot of barriers there and a lot of folks who aren't able to get help. So I would imagine some of the calls you're seeing that dealing with mental health issues and even domestic violence, you know, have increased over the years.
Yeah, we just went through a process in New Orleans where the Board of Selectmen created a Safer Communities Task Force. And really the initial goal was to identify what are the law enforcement priorities within our community. And that was, it was interesting to see how that evolved through our discussions as a committee. And, you know, it went away from violent crime. And ultimately the number one priority in the community of Orleans is proper response to individuals inflicted with mental illness. So we currently contract with our Outer Cape Health, and they brought a navigator program. It's the representative is not a clinician, but she's able to manage resources. We are able to conduct follow-ups with her. At the end result of the committee's work, the town has taken a position. We're ready to take the next step forward, whether that be a regional approach with hiring a clinician, contracting that responsibility out. But we're ready to move forward and take the next step.
Chief Casper, what about Nantucket?
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting where I moved from. I was in Western Massachusetts in Northampton. We had about 100 calls a month, and that was extremely consistent. And we built a program with two in-house clinicians that rode with our officers. But in Nantucket, the call volume fluctuates so much that it's hard to build a program that's consistent that you're, you know, that you can justify with data as far as this is how many calls we have. We have a great collaboration with Fairwinds, which is our on-island resource for mental health outreach and support. And they have a mobile crisis response team that if we call them and they have staffing, they will be able to come out and provide services. So definitely we have great work that we do a great job working together, and we're kind of talking about right now how that collaboration may be built upon to offer even more services. One of the things that I think Chief Laurie mentioned is a lot of people don't think about it. They think about clinicians as just crisis response, but the reality is if you have any traumatic event, having a clinician there is incredible. If you're doing a death notification or you're going to a motor vehicle accident and you have serious injuries, and having a clinician there for that kind of support is incredible as well. So really huge resource for police departments and what we're working with.
Yeah.
So I think another positive thing to add, if I may, is that I think a lot of our communities are realizing that this isn't a police issue. This is a community issue.
Right.
And I think you're seeing that across the Cape.
Yeah. It is a roundtable of chiefs of police this morning. 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. And we'll talk more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point. It's a roundtable of regional chiefs of police this morning. With us is Chief Jody Casper from Nantucket, Chief Jeffrey Laurie from Falmouth, and Chief Scott McDonald from Orleans. If you have a question or a comment for our chiefs, 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626, or send us an email, thepoint@capeandislands.org. All right, we're seeing more bicycles on the roads with a rise in popularity of the e-bikes, and there was even a moped rental shop set up in Falmouth over Memorial Day weekend. Talk about bike and moped safety on area roadways, because, you know, when we were growing up, it was like your road facing traffic. Now it's like you're supposed to ride like the same rules as the car, and I think people are confused as to what the rules are. And these e-bikes are, you know, they go fast. What are your thoughts on public safety there, Chief Laurie? We'll start with you.
So we have a bicycle unit in Falmouth, and you will see we have two e-bikes right now. I just purchased a second, and you will see us, you know, on the paths and the trails, and yes, you know, making sure people are not driving on with an e-bike at a high speed volume. I know I did a Facebook post, and people commented they were upset about us having an e-bike on the bike path. And if I have to take a cruiser on the bike path to help someone that's in crisis, I'm going to take a cruiser on the bike path. But it is a problem, and you bring up some good points. I tell people, you know, really the only time a cyclist should be in the sidewalk is when they're walking the bicycle, and just to be very cognizant of traffic. And Falmouth is a beautiful town, but you're right. I'm seeing people just walk out into crosswalks. I'm seeing people on bikes not adhering to the rules of the road. And we have had cyclists hit, pedestrians hit. So, yeah, please, you know, use care and caution. We have a committee in town that does a great job getting the message out and the word out. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a beautiful – Cape is gorgeous. And people, I want them to enjoy the outdoors, but just do it safely.
Yeah. Chief Casper, what about Nantucket?
We definitely have a lot of challenges around bicycles and mopeds. I think one of the main challenges is a lot of people who are using these things, as well as some of our drivers, are not from here. So people are kind of, they don't really know the roads. They're kind of looking around. They're not just, it's causes a little bit extra level of chaos out there when there's an unexpected turn or whatever that may be. I think for us, our focus is really on education. We have a fantastic school resource officer, and we have a strong transportation working group in the community. And there's a lot of discussion in our community about bicycle safety and working with kids when they're young, as far as what are the rules of the road for bicyclists, making sure they have proper equipment. And we do some, you know, good campaigns locally just to educate drivers as well. You know, the new law just passed that requires that you give a wider amount of 4 feet when you're passing cyclists. And we really try to encourage that just to give the space that people need. So definitely an issue on the island and one that we're working on.
Yeah. Chief McDonald.
One of the biggest problems we have is poor roadway design. Yeah. You know, as you know, some of these streets on Cape Cod were cart paths and we paved them, and now it's an official public way. I think that you're seeing with new design, multimodal approach, and improvements taking place there are helping quite a bit. With respect to e-bikes and the, you know, the technology that's evolving there, sometimes what makes it difficult is it takes a while for mass statutes to catch up. And in terms of us trying to enforce a law, that doesn't exist. So we try to apply other things. At the end of the day, it's about safety. We need to, and I hate, you know, this sounds like a bad word, but condition. We need to condition our drivers, our cyclists, our pedestrians on following the rules of the road. And that's not an easy task.
Yeah. Chief Casper mentioned working with the schools. And Chief McDonald, we'll start with you. School safety. How does the police department work with school districts around best practices for school safety?
We have a remarkable relationship with our superintendent and the Nauset district as a whole. We have an Orleans officer assigned to our middle school, which is located in Orleans. There's also East Ham is where the high school is, and East Ham has an officer there. We meet often with the superintendent to discuss the overall relationship. We have a memorandum of understanding in place that clearly defines the role of the police department, specifically the SRO within the school. And we, again, we have a fantastic relationship. Our officer that's in there now is a former middle school teacher. So he has that foundation. He's building those positive relationships. We're there ultimately to provide a blanket of security. You know, our students and staff need to feel safe and secure in that learning environment. And we try really hard to do that. And I think having a cruiser parked out in front is somewhat of a deterrent. So you have that safety issue. We're constantly talking with the superintendent about, you know, how do we harden up the facility? How do we make it safer? Yet you want that to be a welcoming environment also.
Yeah.
So finding that balance point.
Yeah. Chief Casper, how about Nantucket?
Yeah, we're very lucky to have we have a wonderful school resource officer who's been in the school for quite a long time and has done all the same things that Chief McDonald just mentioned, built those really strong relationships, is a great resource for school administration. We have strong ties with school administration. So I think it's just a constant, you know, check-in between schools and police and addressing any issues that are coming up.
Chief Loy?
You know, it's all about round peg, round hole, right? You know, and I talk about our domestic violence advocate, Carmen. I talk about our clinicians, Molly and Stephanie. Well, I lump Tim Brandt in that same, I mean, I'm surrounded by the Beatles, just absolute rock stars. And I have a meeting with the superintendent tomorrow. I agree with Chief McDonald. It's important to keep those lines of communication open. I have one school resource officer full-time right now. He would come out in the summers and go in uniform for patrol. I'm going to try not to do that this year. And I'm actually giving the superintendent another part-time. So I'll have 1.5 school resource officers next year and hopefully 2 the following. But this, my SRO, Tim, he's, you know, dealing with the Youth Police Academy, the RAD program, High Five Fridays, you know, Bike to School Day. He's a football coach at Falmouth High School. He assists the sheriff with the youth ranch, you know, attends, you know, district health and safety meetings, you know, monthly meetings at the schools, threat assessment, risk management, tip line, and I hate to say it, you know, dealing with active shooter drills and different things along those lines. Mm. You know, it's not about law enforcement in the schools. It's really about supporting the kids. You know, we you know, summons when there is something that happens whenever possible. But really just to support the district and to the kids so they know that we're human beings. With all the things that law enforcement, or I like to call it, it's a very small part of what we do. It's policing. You know, we went through a very difficult time, you know, during COVID and with some social injustice, and there was some reform about taking the SROs out of the schools. And when I went to different meeting groups and explained what the school resource officer does, and my SRO is actually assigned in the Detective Bureau. He wears plain clothes most of the time because I wanted that softer approach. And I've been doing that for years, long before we had the issues we're having. So it really is, we want the kids to understand we're regular people too, and we're there to help them and assist them whenever possible. And the relationship that we have here in Falmouth with the school district, I really think it's amazing. And I'm really glad and proud to say I play a small part in that. And, you know, I served as a school committee chair many years ago. You know, my wife works at Falmouth High School. You know, my kids, you know, went through the public school system. So it really is, they are our future, our most precious mm-hmm. resource. So the Falmouth Police Department, we're here to say we support our kids in any way possible, and we want to provide a very safe environment for them.
And just hearing you describe what Tim does, he sounds more like a mentor, right? I mean, coaching and all the things that he's involved in.
Absolutely.
You can see him being a real mentor to kids.
He really is. Yeah. He really is. He's a very vital part of the mission.
Yeah. In the wake of the tragic school shootings across the country, there have been calls for arming teachers and placing armed police officers in schools, despite research showing armed police officers do not prevent school shootings. What are your thoughts on police officers in schools, and how do you work with administration to prevent violence in schools?
So we did have an issue this year. And the superintendent, I think, dealt with it appropriately, where a firearm entered the school and she took appropriate action with the employee. I don't want to see another gun in the school besides Tim's, you know, or another officer going in there. That's just my personal opinion, and I get other people feel it would make the environment safer. But you have a teacher with a firearm, and what's their training level? Where's that weapon being stored? I just personally don't think it's a good idea. It's policy in Falmouth that, yeah, the only firearms that should be on campus should be a police officer's.
Anybody want to add to that?
I agree with Chief Lori. I mean, the amount of training that an officer receives with his or her firearm, I would certainly be uncomfortable having another individual within that school with a firearm.
Yeah. Chief Casper, you agree?
I agree with both of those. And I think the one thing I would add is I'd be wary if we ever did have an incident where officers went into a school and didn't recognize a teacher, and a teacher in plain clothes had a weapon out. I think that would put everyone at great risk.
Yeah. There are some advocates who argue that school resource officers contribute to the school-to-prison pipeline, and nationally, many students of color shared experiences of feeling targeted by school resource officers. At the same time, there are local school resource officers, such as in Barnstable, Officer Brian Morrison, who is doing really important work around racial justice in school. How do you talk with your SROs about perceptions of racism and targeting of students of color? And do you actively try to recruit officers of color for these roles? And I know that's tough here. We're tough to recruit. Chief McDonald?
So I belong to a group through the NAWSA Interfaith Association. A branch off of that is the Martin Luther King Conversations with Chiefs. And it's been a wonderful experience, and I've learned a lot. Essentially, we look at what is it like to see something through another individual's lens, a person of color. And we have learned so much. And it was challenging. I was very defensive as we went through this process, but I've learned so much. We've brought our officers into this conversation so they understand what it's like to be a person of color, whether that be a student in school or a person driving a motor vehicle. And that's been very, very beneficial.
Chief Casper?
I think it's all about the climate that you create in your organization. You know, how you how your policies are written, how you talk about people, and how inclusive you are. And I think that police departments today, particularly in Massachusetts, are incredibly professional, have taken a lot of time, as Chief McDonald just mentioned, to really try to do our best to learn about the experiences of different people in our communities. And I think that that education has helped us to perhaps, you know, change some of the some of our practices, to update our policies. And I've seen nothing but, you know, positive momentum moving forward as we're, you know, addressing this complicated issue.
Chief Lori?
So I have a monthly show I do, Policing with the People, at the Senior Center. And I had the president, Cape Cod NAACP, come in. And, you know, what I like to say to the folks out there, I think Massachusetts is doing something right, you know, dealing with our bias training, anti-bias training, and different things. I think, you know, we're doing some things right there. And what I said at that monthly show is that, you know, on a personal level, my daughter just got married a couple of weeks ago, and her husband is from Ghana. And the last thing that I want to see is their kids, future kids, my future grandkids, face racism and bias. And I think these conversations need to take place. I think they're vital, that to understand that people, it's, you have bias, let's have conversation. Let's sit down and not be defensive, and let's listen to each other. And we're all people, and come to some common ground. And I really believe that our SRO is doing a good job being very fair with everyone. And I think that's the issue. And if someone does face a hate crime or bias, you need to report it. And we need to change that behavior. If one of our officers is doing something that they shouldn't be doing, that we address it. And I think that's the key, is not to bury our heads in the sand, but to be open to conversation and to understand it's okay to admit you have a bias, and what can we do to get through that.
It's a roundtable of regional police chiefs this morning. 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. We'll talk more after a break. You're listening to The Point. It's a roundtable of regional chiefs of police this morning. With us is Chief Jody Casper from Nantucket, Chief Jeffrey Lori from Falmouth, and Chief Scott McDonald from Orleans. 866-999-4626 is our number if you'd like to have add a comment or a question for the chiefs. 866-999-4626. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. Chief Lori, is your department considering body cameras for officers, and why or why not?
So we are. I implemented a body-worn camera program when I was the Westboro Police Chief. Honestly, they make the majority of our complaints go away. They properly document what the officer is seeing. I know the district attorney here wants us to record all interviews, and having a body camera on the officer makes that possible. We're in the process of writing a grant right now. I'm hoping to implement a program this fall. Obviously, being the new chief in Falmouth, a lot of evaluation going on. There were other things that took priority, but it is a priority of ours to implement, and we've already negotiated that implementation. And I think the officers, I can tell you for a fact, the officers in Westboro love them. Mm-hmm. And I say to everyone out there and any police officer listening to me, if you tell a police chief that a body camera is going to change the way you do policing, you're the person I want wearing it. So I really believe in the program and look forward to implementing it, hopefully this fall, early winter here in Falmouth.
Chief Casper, what about Nantucket?
Yes, we have body cameras here, and they're incredible. I think they provide a layer of protection for officers, you know, against complaints that might not be entirely accurate. Without a doubt, you know, there may be someone who comes in and I want to complain about this, but when they know everything's recorded, they may back down a little. And that's been my experience with where I was from. We didn't have body cameras, but we had cruiser cameras. So all of our motor vehicle stops were recorded. And when people realize that, it can change the tune a little bit. So I think it just provides that extra layer of protection for our officers.
Yeah. What about you, Chief McDonald?
We currently do not have them, but we're looking at FY25 for implementation. We've done all our homework and research, and we're ready to go. It's just a matter of funding at this point.
Yeah. It's expensive, right?
Amen.
Yeah, and I almost wish the state would step in and fund it. With maybe a funded mandate would help be helpful.
I'm wondering about violent crime. We don't see a ton of it, but we do see some. And Chief Lori, in your neighborhood, right, there's been some violent crime recently. How do we deal with that?
That was one of the first challenges I had going to the different village association groups, especially in East Falmouth, where I live, where we had 5 homicides in 2 years, and there was a lot of concern there. Proud to say that I'm a resident of East Falmouth, and that those weren't random acts of violence, that individuals were targeted, and hopefully that trend stops. But, you know, at the end of the day, that's just the reality that we deal with here in the Cape, that, you know, we're number 2 as far as our activity levels, obviously, you know, Barnstable being 1. But I'll tell you, it's about this, communication, going out to those folks and saying, hey, we have some issues, but it's a really safe community. It's a safe town that I'm proud to say I live in. Mm-hmm. And really, Falmouth has been so supportive of us. I know we talk about the first week we had near riots on the beaches and in the Heights, and, you know, Old Silver Beach was all over town. And watching residents come out and help clean up, you know, DPW and one of our local businesses, Shipwreck, closing 2 hours early so there'd be less foot traffic for the police department. And I can assure the public this year that we are ready. We're more prepared going into 4th of July week this year. And if you're coming to Falmouth to be fresh, think twice.
Better go somewhere else. All right. What about you, Chief Casper?
And we're very lucky to have a very low violent crime rate here on the island. I think part of that is just a testament to the work that our officers do dealing with some of the small things and dealing with things before they become big things, right? If we're handling domestic violence well and getting resources and doing what we need to do early in some of these instances, we can prevent other things from occurring. So I think that's the key to a lot of reducing violent crime is really dealing with things much earlier on to prevent those larger incidents from occurring.
And are you ready for 4th of July?
Oh, my goodness. I've been warned. So we'll see.
Yeah. Chief McDonald.
Yeah, Orleans is a beautiful community and we enjoy a low crime rate. So we're very fortunate in that. You know, I think that collectively, the chiefs on the Cape and the islands work so closely together. We're always communicating with each other. How do we do things better? Whether that be regional efforts that we have in place. It's just a really good team that we have in place right now.
And you ready for 4th?
Yeah, the email went out yesterday. All hands on deck.
Yeah, I know. It gets crazy. I honestly think that first week of July is the busiest on the Cape and Islands. It's just so many people in so many places. I think something that people may not know is that the police chiefs here regionally, you meet, is it monthly? And check. And I'm just wondering how those meetings, are they helpful? I mean, they help you understand trends or how other departments are handling with situations you might be working with? What happens in those meetings?
So I can tell you, as a regional chief, when I was in Central Massachusetts, I was president of the Central Massachusetts Law Enforcement Council, and we met regularly. And coming to the Cape, I was extremely impressed how welcoming the chiefs were and how our Law Enforcement Council really addresses a lot of concerns, to include with Chief McDonald's leadership, we have an accreditation team to help the Cape communities all become accredited. So it really is a very welcoming place. We do work very, very well together on a regional basis. I can tell you we have a huge, you know, narcotic problem. And with the boat, with the ferry, you know, developing an MOA with Tisbury to deal with some of those issues. So I'm very pleased with the informational sharing and resource sharing here on Cape Cod in Islands.
Yep. Chief Casper, did you find the same thing? Very welcoming. And he just came in January, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The regional chiefs are fantastic around the state, and it's sharing resources, sharing information. There's a lot of, and sometimes just sharing support, honestly. Times can be tough in particular communities if you're dealing with one high profile event and whatever that may be, and the resources and just support within those networks are incredible. Yep.
Chief McDonald?
Yeah, it's nice. There are various components within the Law Enforcement Council, specialties, if you will, and there's control chiefs that head a tactical team or search and rescue, accreditation, things of that nature. And it's nice that you can just pick up the phone and know that you're going to have a well-trained regional unit respond to your needs.
Yeah. Chief McDonald, I'm wondering what you see as the biggest issues facing our Cape and Islands police departments today, and what role do you see the community in helping address some of those issues?
So let me go back to one our first topic of discussion, really, was staffing. And what concerns me is that this is something we're dealing with nationally, clearly. I think the issue is magnified on the Cape because of the high cost of living. What I am seeing is that you will see departments lowering their standards because the candidate pool has dwindled so much. We're stealing from each other. You're having one officer leave here to go here because they make a little bit more money or it's more of an exciting job. But when you lower your standards, then you have potentially employees that are cause some liability for the departments. I don't know what that fix is. There's a lot of discussions about how we do this. I don't know what it is, but we all should be concerned about. We had a bachelor's requirement in Orleans. It's something I worked really hard to get into the contract. Now we have a new provision within the contract that allows me to supersede that requirement. We had to do that because we didn't have the candidates applying.
Chief Casper, what do you think the biggest issue is?
Yeah, the biggest issue is attracting and retaining good candidates. And these jobs that we all have are incredibly complicated, and the demands from the public are high, as they should be. We have a great amount of responsibility and service to our communities. But the amount of skills that you need to do these jobs well is vast. As we've some of the topics we've talked about here, whether you're going to go give somebody CPR or Narcan or provide emotional support or make an arrest or have to run after somebody, like the type of person who can just do all those things really well and be recorded the whole time and document that perfectly. It's a lot. It's a difficult job, but incredibly rewarding job. But the skills that you need to do the job take years to build. So if we are hiring young people coming in that are then leaving in a few years and our departments are kind of staying young, my fear for my department is who are we promoting to future sergeants and lieutenants and moving up to take over our agencies and lead them when we're gone? So we need long-term candidates or officers who are serving our communities, who really know our communities, really know our policies, really understand the job and can mentor and train young people coming in. So that is my concern. And it all comes back to what we talked about at the beginning, which is making sure that we have housing for people so that they can stay and that they're well paid in their contracts in order to want to stay in our communities.
Same thing for you, Chief Loy.
So I agree with both chiefs 110%. So I'm going to go down a different road here.
Okay.
We have a really bad homeless population here in Falmouth. Mm-hmm. We're number two on the Cape, and I really would like to address that. I'm on the advisory board for Belonging to Each Other, as well as our clinicians and different things. And I really think mental health is a challenge for police departments. I'm very thankful for them. And there's one other area. We're part of the local Cape and Islands Drug Task Force here. I'd like to say to anyone out there, and like I said, I touched upon it, having an agreement with Tisbury to try to deal with some of the narcotics that are going over to Nantucket and the vineyard coming out of Falmouth. If you're a drug dealer, Falmouth PD and our regional partners, we're coming for you. You know, we say we can't arrest our way out of the situation we're in, and people are right. And I'm going to a drug court graduation later on this afternoon at Falmouth District Court. I'm all about supporting people. I can tell you I went to one years ago where there was a 13-month-old baby there in attendance. And even if mom has a hiccup and relapses, this baby was not born heroin dependent. These programs work. But to those that are selling this poison in our communities, Falmouth PD and our partners, we are coming. We are going to arrest you. We're going to work with the district attorney's office to build a very strong case, convict you, and we're going to fill up the Barnstable County jail cells. And I just want to really be very clear with that is a huge problem. Substance abuse issues in the Cape. We want to help you folks. If you need help, call. We'll help you. But if you're dealing that poison in the streets of Falmouth and outside of our jurisdiction, Falmouth PD, we're coming.
Okay. Good to know. Cindy writes, considering the upcoming forecast for this hurricane season, are there resources available for what one can do in their own homes in order to shelter in place? And if it becomes necessary to evacuate the home, where in Falmouth is a safe place to shelter? I can't imagine the entire Cape population being able to evacuate over the two bridges. That would be a nightmare. So how are we preparing? I mean, I guess that's the emergency folks who are working on that, right? Shelters are set up, but that creates problems for you guys as well if we have a big hurricane.
Yeah, I mean, it's communicating with folks, you know, reverse 911s, code red, whatever the community at hand has. We have shelters in town. We work with emergency management, our director in Falmouth, which is the fire chief. And we also work with our regional partners. And, mm-hmm. and whenever there was a storm this winter since I've been here, all the chiefs, you know, fire chiefs, police chiefs, you know, leadership would get together and discuss and come up with a plan. What if?
Right. Right. And Nantucket would be even tougher. Like, if you're going to get out, you got to get out soon because the planes and ferries won't be going.
Yeah, indeed. We have good heads up usually on weather that's coming in, a really strong collaborative team within the town of in emergency management and other directors of different, you know, our town manager, our DPW director. We're all looking at the weather coming in and making determinations on what happens next, whether we need to set up a shelter, what kind of information we need to share with the community. So certainly that's something we deal with quite a bit out here with the weather.
Right. One thing we didn't mention, Chief McDonald, I wanted to touch on is human trafficking. We've talked a little bit more about that in recent years. It's a real problem that we're seeing here on the Cape and Islands.
Yeah, and it's something that we as police chiefs have, you know, discussed and addressed recently. We expanded our role. I had mentioned the control chief within the law enforcement council. It was a domestic abuse component. We decided to expand that to also cover human trafficking. In recent months, we have learned so much. We had our kickoff meeting. The chiefs all agreed to have a representative from each department be a part of this working group. And our first meeting was really to have an understanding what human trafficking is and what is our experience level here on the Cape. And when I asked that question, two hands went up. So essentially we had two officers that have some sort of experience investigating human trafficking. There's a detective in Barnstable, Katie Paracci. She has done so much on human trafficking on the Cape. We brought in a human trafficking survivor to tell her story. To say it was moving is an understatement. With the years of experience in that room, seeing tears in officers' eyes, hearing this woman's story. And it really was kind of that shock in our experience. We needed to understand how important this is. And it is here on the Cape. District Attorney Galbois and I met with the FBI's Human Trafficking Task Force. And as we were in a meeting, I was nudged by one of the agents, and they showed me his cell phone, and he said, right now you have 46 advertisements for sex on the Cape, right now, in the off season. So it's an issue. We're going to expand our next training. I just got off the phone recently with the Attorney General's office. We're going to come down and do a segment on labor trafficking, which is also should be a major concern for us here on the Cape.
Yeah, absolutely. Chief Scott McDonald from Orleans, Chief Jeffrey Laurie from Falmouth, and Chief Jody Casper from Nantucket. I want to thank you all for taking time to be with us today, and thank you for the job you're doing. I think a lot of people don't realize just how important that job is, and we really appreciate you. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.
Is produced by Amy Vince. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Production assistance from Jenny Junker and Dan Tridle. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter.